This presentation is brought to you by iAwaken.org, a not-for-profit organization. We hope you enjoy the presentation. Please observe the copyright terms to which you have agreed.
It's been quite a while since I gave the shiur on Chapter 8 in Talmud Torah. There's been quite a break between Chapter 8 and Chapter 9. And the reason has primarily been that I've been thinking hard about how to explain Chapter 9 in a way that is easy to grasp. Chapter 9 is headed V'tashlich b'metzulos yam kol chatason, that Hashem throws into the depths of the sea all of their sins. And it's that verse which in fact is part of the imagery of the custom of Tashlich on Rosh Hashanah, where we go to a place of water in order to, so to say, throw our sins into the water. And that whole idea is difficult to understand. The Talmud Dvora goes into some very profound depth in this parak. Let me give you some kind of a sense as to what it is. You've clearly seen or experienced, whether as a child or as a parent, the times that a child might bump their head against a sharp edge, a table, or whatever. And the parent, to comfort the child, might hit the table, say, bad table, naughty table, shouldn't have done that to the little boy. What is that all about? Why handle it that way? We could be more honest with the child and say, you know what, nothing happens without hashgacha, and if you hit your table, it's because you've done something you shouldn't have been doing, and that was your punishment. And that's it. There's no real sympathy or empathy. You were the cause of your own punishment, or you were careless and didn't watch out for the table. We could be quite cold and judgmental, rather than turn our anger against this inanimate object as if that does something. And yet it does do something. It is an expression of empathy and sympathy with the child who's just suffered. It's an acceptance of the child. It's not turning the child or persisting with the sense of the child's wrongdoing. It's the child's got the message. If the child was careless or whatever it was, the child hurt its head and probably crying, and doing some conscious or subconscious introspection. And it's not a time for us to rub it in. It's not a time for us to aggravate it and to focus on the wrong, but rather a time for us to sympathize and empathize. And one of the ways of doing that is as if turning against the table is, it's your fault, you did this, you were the aggressor, my poor little boy is the victim. And the correctness of that approach is something we see in this chapter of Talmud Dvora. And I'm not going to read through and translate it, but take you through it in its meaning. And the Talmud Dvora says, this is one of Hashem's great midas, that for example, after Yisrael sinned, and he handed them into the hand of Paro in Egypt, and they eventually did tshuva, why punish Paro? This is the famous question. Why punish Paro? Why punish the Egyptians? They did what God wanted them to do. God had said to Abraham years and years and years before that he was going to go into Egypt and his children would be enslaved there. So they were merely, or to a foreign country, a foreign land, he didn't say Egypt. The Egyptians were merely carrying out God's will. The Jews had to be punished, and they were the ones to do it. Surely they should, if anything, have been rewarded for doing God's will. Why are they punished? And many answers are given. God didn't specify that it had to be the Egyptians. They volunteered, they came forward, they did it. Others answer because they went far further than God wanted them to go. Many answers are given, but the Talmud Dvora takes a very different approach. And he says, Hashem doesn't stop and say, well, the Jewish children have done tshuva, I will accept their tshuva, they've repented, I'll accept them their repentance. But he goes further and turns against those who harassed them, against those who caused them to suffer, whether it's Paro or later on Haman, and throughout history, Sancheriv and others. And he compares this to the very strange avodah on Yom Kippur, in the temple service, where two goats are brought, one is brought as a sacrifice, and one is sent off into the desert so to say, carrying away the sins of the people. And the idea there is, as well, that there is an identity in the power that punishes the Jewish people and takes the sin upon themselves. So there's almost a transference. When Paro, from a Kabbalistic sense, if Paro punishes us, we get cleansed in the process if we do tshuva. Paro then bears the sin in a kind of a way. It gets transferred, it doesn't disappear. So now the sin has been removed from us because we've done tshuva. So where is the sin? Where is that negative energy? Since the way we came to do tshuva was through the suffering caused by Paro or Haman or Sancheriv or Hitler or whoever, they become the bearers of the sin now. It becomes transferred onto them. Every bit of wrongdoing that we did, for whatever reason, and perhaps that gives us some kind of approach to the unanswerable puzzle of what God intended in the Holocaust. But whatever we did over the last several hundred years of history that caused God to put us through that absolute horror of a time, part of all of that was a transference of whatever wrong we had done onto those who tortured us. And they became the Seir, they became the goat. And what does God do with that goat? Or with Haman, or with Paro, that force which caused us the suffering and now bears our sin, he destroys them so that that negative energy is finally destroyed with them. It almost appears as if Kabbalistically, God doesn't just destroy the negative energy. Somebody has to take it away from us, and then he has to destroy them. He has to destroy the object that bears the energy. Perhaps energy can't really be destroyed. Perhaps God set the world up in such a way that he doesn't destroy energy, neither positive energy nor negative energy. He only destroys the material, the matter that carries that energy. So when the Jews have a great deal of negative energy around them, God could wipe us out. That's the one option. But by bringing another nation into play, who by causing us suffering brings us to teshuvah, that nation now becomes the bearer of our evil, of our wrongdoing. And God, in destroying that nation, destroys the evil with them. And he gives another example of that, where the din is that the instruments of execution, on the very, very rare occasions that an individual was actually executed in Jewish law, whether the rock that was used for stoning or the sword that was used for beheading, had to be buried. That had to be taken away. That had to be destroyed. Because Hashem doesn't want the object that carries the negative energy. So when a sword was used to behead somebody for their wrongdoing and their not having taken heed of Hashem's word, that sword brought about the suffering to the person, which ultimately brought about his kapora, his atonement and redemption, and now the sword carries the negative energy. So we bury the sword, we get rid of it. We don't keep the object of negative energy around. And there are two things that we can learn from this very deep understanding, this deep idea. The one is not mentioned in Talmud Torah, and that is just to get rid of things with negative energy. Sometimes we associate negative energy. We've had bad experiences, and we associate those experiences with things. When we see that thing, it reminds us of pain, of suffering, of loss. It's important sometimes to get rid of the object. When we're trying to start again, when we're trying to make place for the new, when we've been through a painful period and we've been through suffering, those objects that were active in that suffering, sometimes we have to get rid of in order to create new space and new energy and new objects around us. When one's been through a loss, loses a person, there are things that keep on reminding us of that person. Some of those things we might want because we want the happy memories, but some of the things maybe remind us of pain in the past, and it's important to actually get rid of that, to actually remove that. But there's another important piece also that the Talmud Vora brings in the last paragraph of the chapter, and says, "Gam b'midah zu tzarich l'itnahega adam im chavero." In the same way, a person must deal with their own friends. Even if he's a wicked person, depressed and oppressed with terrible suffering, do not hate him. Because they have a principle that once a person has been punished, he's your brother, he's one of you again. He's been through the process, he's been redeemed. And one should draw the people near who have been through suffering, no matter what wickedness they might have manifest before that suffering. When they've been through the suffering, we must bring them back and bring them close. And we mustn't turn around and say, it's your fault and you did it and you deserve it. Treat them like we treat the child and turn against the table as the aggressor and sympathize. What a hard time you've had, and hopefully it will be better now. Ba'al yomer avonor gorom lo, and never say his sin caused him to suffer. Elo yirachameihu b'midazuk b'irashti, but show him the same mercy that God shows us every time we do wrong.